Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate the attention. I'm not exactly used to it. I'm from Iowa. We're shy in Iowa. But I'm delighted to be here. It's my very first day. I spent the last 8 days in Minnesota, or 9 days in Minnesota, on a vacation. But I'd say about a third of each of those days was spent on University of Illinois business, trying to get my feet wet and get up to speed on some of the issues. I just came from a wonderful meeting with the leadership team here, in which we went around the table and everyone had had a chance to speak to some of the issues that are on their mind. And there's no end to the issues that the university faces, but I prefer to be optimistic. And I certainly prefer to remind myself daily of what a great university it is, the enormous assets it brings to bear, and the benefits it provides to not just the students, but to the citizens of the state of Illinois. That's going to be uppermost in my mind as we move forward. I'm not going to make any speeches here today for you, because I think mostly we don't have that much time, and I want to give as much of that time to you as I possibly can. So instead, I'll stand for some comments or questions. If I don't know the answer to everything, I can certainly point you in the right direction, I think, and get an answer to you as soon as possible. So please.
The university is in an awful financial position. What do you have to offer that hasn't been offered in the past when it comes to fixing the problems?
Well, we'll have to see. I do think over the years I've been through my share of financial crises at one university or another. So I've dealt with them before. I have experience in that area. I think I'm blessed here with a wonderful leadership team that can inform me on the peculiars regarding the budget at the University of Illinois and in the state of Illinois. I think and I don't want to sound immodest, but I think I have a tendency to think strategically about budgets. To ask myself repeatedly, what's the best part about the University of Illinois right now? Where are our strengths? And to make sure that as we weather this financial crisis, we do everything we possibly can to think strategically about how to preserve those strengths and even enhance those strengths so far as possible. And
what do you think of the university potentially borrowing money while waiting on the state to pay its past bills?
I think I'm going to get some, we're going to have some big discussions about that next week. Walter Knorr is here. He can respond with me, and if not for me. I want to get deeply briefed on the advantages and disadvantages of doing that. But I think under the current circumstances, my assumption is that mostly we have to pay our bills, and if we have to do some borrowing to pay our bills, that's what we'll have to do.
Did the state finish the fiscal year, what was it? $350 million behind, something like that.
The receivable at June 30 is $279 million,
approaching $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature hasn't done anything to fix the problem as we walk into the new fiscal year. So, what's your outlook on if, when things can or will get better?
Again, being new, I'd hesitate to sound like an expert on a situation like this. But generally speaking, I think it's probably, you're not going to see major decisions made probably until after the election, would be my guess. And we'll have to manage through until that point, and we will.
Now, former President Eikenberry is overseeing this working group.
Right.
Some actual actions. You talked a little about that relationship and how you.
Well, let me start by just thanking Stan Eikenberry for being so kind to me and for coming back and shouldering the enormous burden of this position at this particular time. It's hard for me to imagine a person of greater stature and credibility stepping in at a time of great crisis for the university. Only someone like Stan, and I see him back there getting red in the face already, could have pulled this off. Now, I'd never met Stan before I came here, and if I have, I don't think either one of us remember it. But he's a sort of legendary figure. I hate to already elevate him to legendary status, but I think he was kind of a legendary figure in higher education, and I knew about him long before I met him personally. So I've asked him to stay on in a special capacity, as sort of a special advisor, senior advisor to the president, over a long transition period, and to work in particular on this issue of the ARR, I guess it's called. Is that the right phrase for it? The restructuring arrangement. I'm very keen on doing what we can to restructure the university for greater effectiveness, greater efficiency, and for cost savings. I see a lot of advantages in doing that, and I'm counting on Stan to help me immediately as we create an implementation committee, and then as we wade through the many, many decisions that will have to be made as part of that restructuring process.
Now, many of the presidents that we've had in the past have different styles, how they interact in the community, how they interact with faculty, how visible they are to the community and the faculty. How do you plan to, and what can faculty and the Champaign-Urbana community expect from you in that regard?
I think they'll come to see, and I think I have a reputation for this when I was at UConn and at the University of Iowa or at Ohio State. I try to be very open, very transparent, and very visible. I think it's a big university. Even each part of the university, especially the Chicago campus and the Urbana campus, are both by themselves very large. I think it helps if people know who the president is. I think by being engaged and being visible and being accessible, even one person, the president, maybe more than others, can help make a big university seem smaller. And that would be my goal.
Do you feel in any way that you have to defend your salary? A lot of folks around the community have talked about the amount of it and how much more it is than your predecessor, and the fact that tuition went up 9.5%, furloughs, layoffs, et cetera, separation packages. Is there any sense that you have to defend that amount of money?
Well, I'm sure to be getting questions about it, so I'll have to be prepared to speak to the issue. But no, I don't feel defensive about it at all. It may be more than President White was paid, but it's about the same as what I was paid in my former position. And it's not at all in the middle of the pack in terms of Big Ten presidents. Is down somewhere around number 75 of all university presidents in the country. So I don't think the salary is out of line. I think the question to be asked here is over the next year, ask me, what have I done to earn that salary? And if I haven't done enough to earn that salary, I'm sure the board will want some adjustment made. So, and I intend to earn it, and I intend to bring into the university one way or another a substantial amount of money, more than I'm going to be taking out.
What part of this job is going to be fundraising? I mean, we talked about the state's financial problems.
Right.
How much more reliant on private money is the university going to have to be?
Well, I think all major public universities, we spend a lot of time talking about the current crisis. But as I mentioned earlier, this is like the third or fourth major budget crisis I've been through in my life. So the real story is in the long-term trend line. And the long-term trend line is to be increasingly reliant, less reliant on state support, sadly, and more reliant on other sources of revenue, including tuition, sadly. So, and fundraising as well, and research support, particularly from the federal government. So my job will be spending a lot of time, as much time as it takes, to make sure that capital campaign succeeds. It wouldn't be unusual that I'm spending at least 30% of my time on fundraising and alumni raising. Alumni and fundraising activities, they're intertwined. And it happens to be a job that I enjoy. And so I'll be very active.
Can you talk about
I'm not sure how to answer that yet. I'm not that versed on the budget. I can say in principle that it's probably going to be difficult in the year ahead to be generous on the salary side. In principle, I'm not very sympathetic to furlough days. I think they're very bad for faculty and staff morale. So my own disposition would be to try to deal with budget issues in different ways than relying on furloughs. We can't rule them out right now, and I certainly wouldn't want to say anything definitive until I know more. But in principle, we had furlough days at UConn and others, and I know from experience it's very, very hard on faculty and staff morale. So faculty and staff are willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary, but there are different ways of doing it, and hopefully we can manage this crisis without relying heavily, if at all, on furlough days.
What are the plans for beginning search for interim chancellor for campus?
We are very, very lucky to have an interim chancellor, Bob Easter, who is just absolutely, he's sort of the Stan Eikenberry, I guess, of the chancellorships, let's just put it that way. He's a great guy. He has great standing. He stepped in at a difficult time. He's done a wonderful, wonderful job. Naturally, we'll have to do a search there, but I haven't set a timetable for it. I can just say I feel very confident now that the Urbana campus is in excellent hands, and there's no compelling need to rush a decision on the search.
But he doesn't want to remain permanent, so do you have a time frame?
I don't have a time frame. But I would say, obviously, that sometime in this next academic year we'll be announcing a search and hiring a search firm, but not something I think we need to do in the next 2 or 3 months.
Have you been to Springfield yet? Sort
of? Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been to Springfield campus.
Not to the campus, too. I was thinking more of the legislators.
No, I have not.
I have not. Do you plan to go there?
Soon. I'm not sure what their summer schedule is like. But it's very important for me to begin building relationships. I have talked to several legislators on the telephone during my last visit here, and I expect to be doing more of that as quickly as possible. I will say, in a general sense, we're putting together what I would call a transition plan. Others might call it a listening tour. It'll take up most of this summer. I'll be going to meet with leading donors, prominent alums, members of the board. Working now on a meeting with the chancellors, all three of them together, and that would include visits as many as I can squeeze in over the summer months with members of the legislature. I met with the governor, interim governor, and I've met with the mayor of Chicago, and I intend to continue a regular pattern of meetings. It's a very important part of my job.
How important, you mentioned meeting with the mayor of Chicago, how important is that kind of relationship with people up there as opposed to what happens down here? You know, how do you, I guess, balance the importance of the two biggest campuses?
Well, I think it appears to me that it's fairly well balanced. Certainly in terms of my time, I expect to spend a lot of time in Chicago and on the Chicago campus. But I don't have any plans to neglect any of the campuses. So I'll try to, I mean, I guess the best way to answer that is I'll be there as often as I need to be there, plus at least 1 or 2 more days.
What about accessibility? I mean, we talked about the tuition increase for this year, and you just mentioned that even more in terms of tuition may be required. It's already expensive to attend the University of Illinois, and you know, we know how tough it is out there.
Right.
How concerned are you that it is now or could soon be too expensive to attend the university?
Well, I would be very concerned because it is a public university, and we have a not only a public university but a land-grant university. So we have, the real trick in higher education is to make sure at every turn you're successful at achieving what I call the Jeffersonian ideal, which is to reconcile the search for excellence with the process of access. And that's not only true on the financial grounds, but it's also true in terms of diversity, for example. So I am concerned. These are major issues to the board here. I happen to know that they'll be major issues to me, and they're issues I'm familiar with because the same thing is happening at other public universities around the country. I've talked already to our foundation president about doing more to raise money for scholarships, for example. And I do think that'll be a big focus of our capital campaign going forward, if not a special. We may even think of it in terms of a more mini campaign or some special effort to raise scholarship dollars because we were just talking about it in the leadership group in there. that while we already devote, the state provides a good deal of money, we devote even more money. About 15% of all of our tuition revenue gets set aside for scholarships, mostly need-based scholarships, and we may have to do more of that. And the way to do that is through a very aggressive fundraising campaign.